everyone, and welcome to Accounts 2.0. I'm Steve Perpich, and with me is Ted Williamson. Hi,
Hello.
Ted.
Hello, everybody.
So today, we're on step five of our New Age Accountant's journey into being a New Age Accountant. Today is about cybersecurity. It's not just policy. It's a lifestyle. So, Ted, I'll just kick right in. What is your view or thoughts on cybersecurity in general?
Well, I think it's important. I think everybody probably thinks that way, but some people probably, I think a lot of people think that cybersecurity is just like another thing they have to worry about, that it's really not super important. It's something like a buzzword, something that they have to consider, rather than it being part of their culture or part of their company. It's just like an annoying little thing. Let's just say, I don't know. It's some annoying thing that is just part of doing business, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be an annoying little thing. I mean, it's not fun. Nobody really, well, some people love it. Steve loves security. So,
well, it's kind of my career before my earlier incarnations before I got involved with activities.
Absolutely. I think being in the accounting world, dealing with people's finances, it's even more important for us in that world. We are entrusted with people's information. We have to make sure that we protect that information and that we protect our company overall.
Well, okay. So inconvenience, but important. And that's why the title of this the section is a lifestyle. Not just policy. It's almost a kind of a contradiction. In accounting, especially, trust and the concept of security for information is critical. In the accounting firm, whether you're a bookkeeper or an accountant, you're being made privy to privileged information that is only for the business owners and the CRA or the IRS and the banks, and that circle of trust has to be maintained. And with modern technology, moving as fast as it can, there's always the opportunity of a misstep. It doesn't have to be inconvenient. It doesn't have to be a big deal. But there's just some certain steps that you have to follow when you want to be a credible, provider of financial services. And as a New Age Accounting we actually promote cloud-based platforms. A lot of these platforms, actually not a lot, most, I'd say 99%, actually do have the standard security that's acceptable for both commercial and institutional levels. It's just a matter of implementing. So there's some steps that you should just follow. First of all, assess your status. What are your risk points? How many people in the staff do you have? What are they have access to? Map that out a little bit and really think, okay, who needs access to what? And then go a little bit beyond the password and the account. Don't have shared accounts. Don't have one login for five people's access to a system, especially if it contains financial information. That's a basic. But passwords are now becoming almost a convenience level for access. They're not security. So the absolute minimum is implementing a two-factor security access to whatever platform. Now, that could be an SMS text message to verify access. Kind of inconvenient. One of the issues with that is, where is that text message going to? Is it going to somebody's personal phone? Is it a company phone? That's usually the problem with it. But you can also use an authenticator. Now, an authenticator is a piece of software that can sit on your phone and or your desktop that you get a six-digit number on there that changes every 30 seconds to use that. But two-factor authentication is the absolute minimum. Then the next level is like device-level certification where you may have noticed, like for Google, for example, when you go into Gmail on your laptop, it'll say open Gmail on your phone, and then it gives you access. Now that's device level. Yes, it's scary, not really, but Google knows that you have your phone, but that's okay because they know it's you. So if anyone else tries to hack your account, they can't. So if you follow those basics, one login per person, per software, two-factor authentication minimum, and you follow that right to document storage. So when you're storing documents, the access control should be the same level. So either you're using a platform that has document control, even something as simple as OneDrive or Google Drive, make sure that the access to each document is or directory is set to those who need to see it. Don't just have it in a big directory and anybody can just go there. And even then, some type of auditing tracking. Both OneDrive and Google Drive have methods of knowing who looked at stuff and who uploaded it. Just so you know, it's just a setting. And that way you're showing enough due diligence that if something happened, you were using the best practices the industry have to offer. That's all you can do. You're not in the career of building a whole new encryption system and worrying about that kind of stuff, but just by design. The other aspect too is simply physical access to your assets at the office. Lock doors. Don't have passwords written on sticky notes on the screen, that kind of stuff. That goes way back to the 1990s, but hey, it's still a thing. The other is end-to-end point, like people working from home. This is why cloud-based solutions are good, because you can control and audit the IP addresses in a lot of these software platforms where only North American IPs can get at your platform for uses. So anyone offshore, they'll set a warning, and you know, then you'll know that, okay, this is not my employee getting into my system. It's something else, and it can be stopped or managed there. Now, the aspect is, I've experienced it with some clients in my past, but if you have a breach, in other words, you get a ransom, cyber ransom demand, your system's locked down, you hear it from everyone, and it's hard to do, but you, first of all, never negotiate with them. Never, ever give them money, because all you're doing is promoting that industry. They're unlikely to either give you your data back, and if they did, it's probably corrupted, so the trust is broken, and immediately report the breach to authorities. Actually, you're kind of required now, especially if you're in a position of trust. If you don't report it, you can be subject to sanctions both in the United States and Canada for failure to report a data breach, especially if personal information was compromised. Now, part of that bravery of telling a cyber attack to get lost is preparation. Make sure your backups are properly done, and keep a history or versions of your backups on your cloud services to go back further than, say, 90 days. That way, you know you're not saving the virus that caused the attack. If you are using OneDrive and Google Drive, one of the advantages of they do scan your files for virus. If you're just using, like, you know, a hard drive on a server room, you know, and you had a breach, once you break off the communication with the outside world, you're going to have to hire a company to do an audit and do a scan. So that's a dark scenario, but it doesn't really have to be if you follow these other processes. If you use cloud-based solutions, follow their security recommendations, and make sure that you know who's got access to what, you're pretty good.
I think if you have, like, on-premise servers, you are in the dark ages. You should almost, unless you're,
a server farm.
Yeah, a server farm, you're a $100 million company, which a lot of these companies are. So then you are insane, because they can easily get into your system. If they want it, they'll get it hostage. They can easily just spin up, you know, a day ago. Now you just lost a day's worth of data instead, right? So
Completely agree.
So I think it's almost insane to have on-premise stuff. So obviously not everything's there. So a lot of times, like tax preparation software, you're kind of stuck having an on-premise database. A lot of times you can still get away with having like a cloud-based database that you connect to your on-premise or to your desktop application. rather than your cloud-based application, which is great. It still works good. But remember, these large companies, like any time you can, you should be opting into storing your data in a cloud.
100%.
Because they spend millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to make sure that they stay compliant, that they stay safe for you and for them, because they can be shut down and out of business if a breach is bad enough, right? So makes no sense to think otherwise.
And there's no way that you can compete with their ability to stay on top of trends, the current cyber attacks. Basically, local storage is only, I would only really depend on it. Say you're using almost like an electronic scratch pad. You bring your files locally, but even then with like OneDrive and Google Drive, you can have it sync. So really your files are still in the cloud, but they're local for just access while you're working on them. But it's constantly synchronizing to keep it going, to keep it safe. But it's more for if there's an interruption and you're in a rural area and the internet is unreliable, or the rare occurrence where we have a failure in the internet stuff. Like just recently, there was some downtime for some of the major platforms. So your day won't be interrupted those few hours. But then again, if you're a new age accountant and your life is structured and balanced, a few hours delay from an internet eruption, go get a coffee, go do your, do some planning, and then, it'll all be back online quicker than you can imagine. So because these third party companies with all the data storage and servers, they usually bounce back pretty.
Absolutely. They have all these protections in place to keep them operational and keep you operating.
Yeah. So for ongoing, like in the article I set up on our blog, I talk about audits and constant improvement. Being aware, if you're really resistant to having it control your life, an annual kind of just review of who can get at what, and just be aware of trends and things, and using the third party storage. A smaller mid-level size firm, you're pretty safe. And it doesn't have to be a big dramatic thing for cybersecurity.
Not at all. I mean, the only thing you need to worry about is who has access to what and password protection. So the other thing is using something. So you're talking about having passwords, having a different password for everything is great. So using a password generator or password storage. So something like 1Password, we actually were an affiliate for 1Password. So click on that affiliate link in our comments or in our description, and you can get a 1Password account, and that is great. Your whole team can use it. I'm not trying to do an ad for 1Password here, just so that you know.
Well, I use 1Password. It's a great product.
Yeah, but any password, platform is great. So 1Password, Bitwarden, and all of them. They are wonderful. You can control your team level. You can generate a password for each one, store it in your thing so you never lose it. Have access on your laptop, in your desktop, and on your phone. And you can. So what I used to use, I used to use Bitwarden, and I would use that one. I would create all of my own passwords, and I'd have my team passwords. So, and each client, how it's a little bit less now, but years ago, every client had their Wi-Fi password. If you were going to clients, you'd have to figure out what's their Wi-Fi information. How do I get into their instance of like QuickBooks desktop? All of that kind of stuff. So I had to store all those passwords for all of these different things in order to get into their programs and even like sometimes like the door code, so you could get into the actual building itself, for example. But now, I'm not saying to do that, because cloud-based and new age accountants don't go to places. The only places they go to are like Bora Bora or something like that. That's where you should be working, not at a client's location. But that being said, a lot of times they still have softwares and things like that that they had to invite you to, like their Square account or something like that. And so you have to maybe have a separate password for each one of those softwares or something like that. So it's very, very good.
For convenience and short term, they may not want to implement two-factor authentication in those cases. So the generation of passwords is critical on that.
Exactly. And you can share that with the whole team, so that depending on who's who's the one that's working on the client, sometimes it's not one person working on a client, two or three people have to jump into that information to get reports or something like that in order to do the work they need to do. So
right, and let me qualify important to keep that. All that down. Let me qualify that. That's an operational issue between a new age account and their client. So, because I said earlier, one account, one yes. user, that's ideal. But in reality, when you're dealing with outside entities, they may have a master portal account called accountant, and yep. you'll have to enter that way. Therefore, strong encryption has to be in place. Large passwords that should be generated. Two-factor authentication may not be realistic because it could be a multiple individual. So my recommendation at that time is either the client, when it's not the period where you should be working on it, if you're not constantly accessing this client for, if you're constantly accessing this client for operational things, you should actually have an account and set up properly. But yeah. if it's for, say, it's just tax season or whatever, they could even just disable the account temporarily and then re-enable it when it's time to get in there. And it can be
I don't like to disable the 2FA. Mm-hmm. What I do is I actually create, like, we use Google, you can do it in Microsoft too. So mm-hmm. in Google, I'll just create a group in there, and all the people that are signed to that client, I'll put into that group. So it'd be like client 1, 2, 3. And then all of the users in my firm who are assigned to that client, I would put them there so that when you do 2FA through, you know, or like multi-factor authentication through email, then all of them will get it. Or I can use like a joint text number so sadly everybody gets that, right? So everybody who gets the number or who's assigned to a number will get that. But if you use our one company, A20 Connect, and you're in our platform, and you can create all kinds of numbers. So you can again, parse those numbers for each client if you really needed to.
That's right, Ted. With VoIP systems, yeah. and especially with SMS, with VoIP, like our platform, those type of two-factor things become much more flexible and easy to do. So yeah. again,
but still secure.
That's a great best practice, and that's actually how we do it. So
yeah, but still secure. Remember that. Like, that's the important part. We don't want to get around security, but we have to play within. So sometimes you have to play with it to make a client happy, right? So. But we're not getting around it. Yep.
Well, that's great. Well, I think we covered all the topics and for cybersecurity that we'll want to for those who are thinking this is inconvenient.
But such an exciting topic yes. to talk about.
Yes. Yeah. But we can talk about cybersecurity more or other topics if you join our community on LinkedIn or Facebook, Accounts 2.0 community. We're always available to respond to messages. And as it grows, we're going to have more regular get-togethers just online there. But for now, we're putting out these podcasts and wanting people to join our community. Unless you have something else to say, Ted, we're going to sign off and move on to the next steps.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see what other people are doing. So what are you doing? Comment on the video on YouTube or whatever podcast platform you're on. Like, let us know, what are your best practices to deal with cybersecurity, to protect your clients, protect your firm. I would love to know that. And again, I would say like and subscribe and stay in the know.
Excellent. All right, everybody, have a great day and see you soon.
See you soon. Thanks.